You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
For our weekly interview with the ACT Party, I spoke to MP Simon Court about the government's plan to increase student attendance rates post-COVID-19, as well as his post on X last week, in which he stated that he stands with Israel. Here is that interview. The government has announced a traffic light system to increase school attendance, with a target of ensuring 80% of students are present for more than 90% of the term by 2030. How does this plan differ from what measures are already in place to manage truancy?
Well, we're going to put in place immediate changes so that attendance data is published weekly. At the moment, it's reported quarterly. And under the previous government, what was happening, it wasn't being reported until the following quarter or even the one after that. So it was absolutely meaningless in trying to track whether children are attending school or not and what might be some of the correlations or causations if they weren't. So we're going to require publishing attendance data. We're going to clarify attendance expectations to school boards, and we're going to roll out an awareness campaign about the importance of attending school, because almost every aspect of someone's adult life will be defined by education that they receive as a child. And so if we do want better social outcomes, we can't keep ignoring this truancy crisis. This government intends to create a culture where children know if they want to get anywhere in life, they do need to get to school first.
Part of the system will include fining parents. What will happen in the case of if a parent can't afford these fines?
Well, at a later date, I understand that Minister David Seymour will be bringing more proposals to Cabinet, which include mandating daily reporting of attendance data, not just weekly, and developing that traffic light system you mentioned to set out requirements for attendance, and setting up clear obligations for when a student is not attending, what happens next. Now, whether this be fines or some other kind of sanction as an initial response is yet to be determined. If somebody can't pay a fine, then there are already a range of options available to courts around enforcement. I guess the point is, between now and 2030, we want to get 90% of kids attending school, 80% of students attending school for 90% of the time, because we think that's the measure that's going to ensure New Zealand successful for decades and in the century to come.
How will you ensure that these penalties would be applied equitably, so in the case of a lower income family, that fine's going to have much more weight than perhaps a higher income family who would be willing to pay that fine to take their kids out of school for a one or 2 week long vacation every term?
Well, that's why this government's going to be setting expectations to school boards about attendance, you know, and clear obligations for when a student's not attending, what schools and school boards are required to do. Taking children out of school for 2 week vacations simply because, you know, they're going to experience different things about the world is completely unacceptable. You know, I mean, you could make the same case for all of these children and young people attending climate protests that, you know, they're getting something out of life that they wouldn't get from being in the classroom. Well, this party, the ACT Party and this government absolutely disagrees with that. If there are families that are going to struggle to pay a fine, you know, they have an option. Get the kids to school. And if they can't get them to school and they need help, then get help they need from the schools, from other community services and agencies that can help them. Because if those children and those families are not going to school, they're going to have much worse life outcomes than if they did go to school. And you know, this government wants to help them, and we don't want to fine them.
Speaking of help, do you have any plans to reduce barriers for students with disabilities or low-income students that prevent them from attending school?
Well, I'm not aware of any current policy proposals that directly target children from low-income families or children with disabilities, but I do know there is already a lot of support in place. I have a son with a disability, Down syndrome, who's been able to attend various schools over the years that meet his needs. And you know, there are significant programs in place already to support children and young people with special needs to attend school.
To move on, I also wanted to speak to you about your post on X last week where you said that you stand with Israel. Our ex-coalition partners have called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Is this something that ACT supports?
Absolutely. Our foreign minister called on Hamas to release all the remaining hostages immediately, and that also Israel must do everything in its power to enable safe, rapid and unimpeded humanitarian access into and throughout Gaza. The problem is there can only be a ceasefire if both parties want it. Israel has been attempting to negotiate with Hamas for weeks now, and twice now Hamas have walked away from the negotiating table, say they refuse to entertain the ceasefire that Israel and the international negotiators are offering. These people attacked Israel on October 7. They killed over 1,200 people. They killed hundreds at the Nova Music Festival. They treated young women brutally. They raped, they tortured, they've taken hundreds back into Gaza, and they refuse to negotiate a ceasefire.
So all right, but Simon, I'm going to interrupt you because a lot of those claims are unsubstantiated. And since then, 32,000 Palestinians have been killed. There's been thousands of Israelis protesting against Netanyahu's government, calling on them as well to do more to accept a ceasefire and ensure the release of Israeli captives. So do you support these calls coming from Israel's own citizens?
Absolutely. A ceasefire is absolutely vital. The people of Gaza cannot be safe until there is a ceasefire, you're safe from this conflict. But I also want to come back to what you said before, that the claims are unsubstantiated. These claims are videoed and documented by Hamas operatives themselves who wore body cameras and filmed themselves carrying out these acts at places like the Nova Music Festival. They were filmed taking the dead bodies of abused young people back into Gaza. They are all over social media. There's also been significant documentary evidence, including even provided by the UN, which substantiates what I've said. So these are not claims. This is fact. Israel is dealing with an existential threat right now, not just from Hamas, but also from Iranian proxies across the region, and this weekend from Iran itself, which fired over 200 ballistic missiles and dozens of drones towards Israel, some of which got through the defensive system.
Yeah, so there has been reports from the UN have said that there is evidence to suggest that violence could have occurred, but at this time it is not confirmed. But that's what the UN report has said, that there is grounds to believe that violence could have occurred. But I do want to go back to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Are you concerned that Israel has indicated it will be launching a military offensive into Rafah?
Well, Israel's in the most unenviable positions when it faces these awful trade-offs. They have to continue to defend themselves from the existential threat posed by these Hamas terrorists. Hamas have said publicly and repeatedly they would commit October 7 again. Israel needs to also avoid the risk to innocent civilians in an area under terrorist rule, in a way that in many cases is impossible to reconcile with the need to actually recover the hostages Hamas has got and try to eliminate Hamas as a terrorist organisation.
Okay, so I just want to clarify then. So you don't support a ceasefire, you don't support an immediate ceasefire, I should say. You support a ceasefire perhaps long term, but not an immediate one.
Well, let's be clear. If Israel puts down its guns and walks away, what's going to happen? The terrorists win, and they will continue to hold their weapons. It's very important that the people of Israel and the people of the surrounding countries like Jordan and Egypt can be confident that Hamas is suppressed, if not completely disarmed, and disestablished as an organisation, so that they no longer keep those 2.5 million people in Gaza under the control of a terrorist dictatorship. This is not Israel's problem to solve alone. The awful problem is that Hamas is hiding behind the millions of civilians in places like Al-Shifa Hospital in Rafah. And, you know, I'm not a military strategist, My post that you questioned around why I stand with Israel is because Israel is a small democracy. It's the only place in the Middle East where being gay is okay.
But do you also stand with those Palestinian civilians, Simon?
Yes, if you mind, I'll just finish. I think it's really important that New Zealand looks at those nations where we would say they are like us, and we share their values, and they are under attack.
But there's many members of the Jewish community here in New Zealand and Aotearoa, because in your statement you said that you stand with Israel and the Jewish community, and those aren't necessarily the same thing. There is plenty of Jewish-led organisations here in Aotearoa and around the world who do not support the Israeli government's actions. So there are lots of people that have questioned your statement. So I just want to clarify, do you stand with those members of the Jewish community as well, who are against the Israeli government's actions? And do you stand with the Palestinian civilians who are being killed as a result of the Israeli government's actions in Gaza?
Let's be clear. I don't advocate for the actions of any other foreign government, but Israel has to, the Israeli government has to defend its people and try and get its hostages back. I absolutely accept that there are thousands of people in Gaza right now who are in harm's way, who are in the middle of a conflict.
They're dead, Simon. They're dead. There's 32,000 people that have died, a majority of them being children.
It's awful. It's awful that civilians have been killed in that conflict. You must consider who started the conflict and who has the ability to end it. When Israel is at the negotiating table in Qatar, which they have been for the past couple of weeks, and Hamas continues to walk away, you have to ask yourself, we can call here in New Zealand for a ceasefire now. I support the call for an immediate ceasefire. But the problem is, the other side doesn't. And so you can't have one side having a ceasefire. And I think that's essentially where I say, I stand with Israel, because if Israel, the people of Israel, you know, not their government, not their political parties, but the people of Israel, people like us, who just want to go to a rave, who want to go to the beach, who want to be able to go about their lives, and the Palestinian people also, who want the same things, all those people in
the West Bank, I guess I just don't understand, Simon, why you can't just say, I stand with the Palestinian civilians, because it seems like you don't.
Well, I certainly appreciate the terrible situation that they're in. But I want to make it absolutely clear. The reason that my post and the reason I do stand with Israel and the reason I attend vigils for the hostages is because there are people in the Jewish community in New Zealand who are saying that the level of anti-Semitic attacks and violence, including on Jewish kids at school, is out of control.
Yes, but can't you condemn anti-Semitism while also acknowledging that the Israeli government has gone beyond a point necessary?
Well, as I pointed out, they're in the most unenviable of positions, and I can't assume I have the same knowledge they do when they're making their decisions about what actions they take.
All right.
I tell you, the reason I stand with Israel is because small, vulnerable democracies like New Zealand, like Israel, need to stick together. We need to recognise that if it wasn't for countries like the United States, like Great Britain, and like Israel's neighbours, Egypt and Jordan, Israel would have been wiped out by people like Hamas years ago. And, you know, it's important that we recognise that in New Zealand. And we stand with the people who would otherwise be eliminated, and that is the Israelis right now.
You could argue that's the Palestinians as well, but that's all the time we have for now, Simon.
Thank you, Jess. All the best. I hope your listeners get something out of that.
That was ACT MP Simon Court on truancy as well as ACT's pro-Israel stance.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.